show you the money.
Oh, no, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it what you would mean it, brother.
Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, yeah, no, 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 show you the money.
Not show you, show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I am Sean Green, and of course, that is from the 1996 Cameron Crowe film, Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, who plays a sports agent, one of my favorite movies. I'm very pleased, very, very pleased to have on a Super Celebrity Hotline right now, Molly Fletcher, CEO, author, mass negotiator. She has a new book out, The Art of Negotiation. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. That made me smile listening to that.
So first of all, you're known as the female Jerry Maguire. How did you acquire that name?
Well, I did an interview with CNN years and years ago, and they just sort of coined it, and it's just sort of taken off, and people have grabbed it, and, you know, here we are. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's what it is, and it's a quick way for people to sort of get a sense for what I've done and what we do.
Yeah, and you acquired Doc Rivers, Joe Theismann, all these big names. How were you able to get those big names?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of, and I believe that relationships really can really transform all of our businesses. And it was all about building relationships, you know, sort of getting in front of people and hopefully encouraging them to like and respect you enough to believe that you can help and add value to their worlds. And you know, I feel certainly thankful and grateful that I was able to do that for an unbelievable amount of guys and over, you know, 15 years. So it was pretty awesome.
Now, in your new book, A Winner's Guide to Negotiation, How the Conversation Gets Deals Done, in one part of the book that I really like was the Lenny Wilkins deal that you talk about in 96. Can you explain a little bit of that to us?
Well, I mean, Lenny was an unbelievable guy, right? Lenny was a guy that, you know, had great success. I mean, right, he's in the Hall of Fame as not just a player, but also as a coach. And when I first started out in my career, I was young and early on, and we did a deal with Bell South at the time, which is now, of course, you know, has been acquired by AT&T. But Bell South at the time had two divisions of their company. They had Bell South Mobility and Bell South Corporate. And so we get a phone call from Bell South Mobility asking us if we would do a deal with Lenny and would he be interested in doing some appearances at the Olympics and some signings and things like that. And we certainly, you know, agreed, and Lenny was excited about it. He was the dream team coach. And so we did that deal. And then about a couple weeks later, before the Olympics, we get another call from Bell South Corporate kind of asking for a similar deal. So we do that deal. And then, you know, after we sort of said to these guys or throughout the process, we said, guys, you know what? We just got a call from the other side of the office, a different line of business, certainly. But, gosh, what if we brought this stuff together and, you know, sort of commingled the efforts here and saved you guys potentially some money along the way, was able to ensure that you're not duplicating your spend and simultaneously ensure Lenny's being efficient. So, you know, in many ways, that was the birth of some parts of our company. So it was fun.
Now, you're doing these negotiations, you're doing these deals with different individuals, and each person is different. How do you go about as far as like the technique of getting that particular deal for that particular person? Because, you know, one person may want this particular deal, but in actuality, it may only be worth a little lower than what they're asking for.
Right. So, sure. I mean, I think you've got to, number one, obviously as an agent, you got to get really clear with your client on what sort of the market bears, what their expectations are, and make sure you're aligned with your client. Certainly, that's obviously imperative. And then with the teams, if they're a free agent or if they're in arbitration or if it's a golfer with a manufacturer with a product that he's been playing for a long time, all those things, you really want to get really clear with your client on how much leverage you have as you approach the deal. And then, you know, when you go to negotiate with the other party, you know, I believe that negotiation is really about putting yourself on the same side of the table as the other folks. I don't think you need to, you know, take your gloves off and get ready for battle. I think it's about finding what I call 360-degree awareness in the book about how do we really figure out what's in the head and the hearts of the people that we're negotiating with. How do we put ourselves in their shoes? How do we understand what they value? To me, all those things are really important so that you can set the stage really well, so that you can, you know, find common ground and connect with the people that you're negotiating with. all that, to me, lends itself to allowing the conversation of negotiation to continue. And that, at the core, is, you know, that's the subtitle of A Winner's Guide, which is, you know, getting, you know, how conversations get deals done. And I think that's the goal in negotiation, is to ensure that you can create an open enough dialogue that you can keep the conversation going so that you can, in fact, find connection and hopefully get a deal done.
Now, are there any deals in your career that you walked away from? And if so, do you regret walking away from a particular deal or a client?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, certainly, I mean, there were very few, but there were clients that we had to let go because there wasn't an alignment in expectations, and that certainly is something that I'm a big fan of people doing, right? I mean, if you start putting a lot of energy toward a relationship that is sort of negative energy, I don't think that does anybody any good. So to me, that was important. Deals that we walked away from, you know, John Smoltz pitched in Atlanta for years and years and had great success and was very embedded in the community and had built amazing relationships, but you know, he left Atlanta. We walked away from a lot of deals for John. The Yankees offered us a bunch of money. John turned it down in an effort to stay in Atlanta because he really felt like he was building sort of favor with the Braves. And in reality, like with most situations, when you stay in a particular city for a long period of time, you sort of begin to build sort of a hometown discount. And John had sort of put himself into that situation. And, you know, I think it would have been fun if he would have taken a shot at the Yankees. You know, I told him, I said, you know, you got a little bit of a belly, man. Those pinstripes would have made you look thinner. You know what I mean? That might not have been a bad thing.
Now, I can imagine doing these six-figure deals, million-dollar deals, that this has to be like a 24-hour job, and you're getting those maybe 2 a.m. Calls while you're sleeping, and you're getting that call like just like off Jerry mm-hmm. McGuire. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's sleep, man? I mean, really? I mean, no, I take better care of myself, but no question. I mean, I bought pajamas with pockets in them, you know, so that I could get my phone in my pocket and or clip it on my wrist, on my waistband. But it's a 24/7 deal, no question. And that's part of it. And I think the thing that's important for, you know, anybody that's listening to know that, you know, it's a business, too, where it's so important to know everything that's going on in the world of the athletes or the coaches that you're negotiating with. I mean, when a guy calls you at 11:30 at night after he's hit the game-winning home run, you know, in the bottom of the ninth inning, I mean, you need to know that he hit the game-winning home run. You can't answer the phone and go, hey, man, what's up? You know, you need to know what he did. And so not only is it 24/7 as it relates to being accessible, but it's 24/7 as it relates to knowing and being in your players and your athletes' world so that you know what happened in their world that day, because you've got to be standing over every putt with these guys, you know, all through the, you know, Thursday through Sunday, hopefully when they make the cut, or, you know, you got to be at the plate with these guys when they're swinging or on the mound with them as they're throwing pitches. I mean, you got to be feeling what they're feeling. And that to me is a really important part of ensuring that you can build, you know, in many ways, sort of an authentic connection with the guys and gals that you represent.
Right. And last question, you're in a male dominated industry, And you've done like spectacular work. Has that been difficult being the only woman in this male dominated industry?
Yeah, you know, it's been funny. I mean, I get that question certainly a lot. You know, to me, it's about reframing it as a positive, and fortunately, I was able to do that over the 15 years. Is reframing the fact that you're a female as a positive. I mean, there were so many awesome things about it, right? I mean, I was the only female on the range at PGA Tour and major events, and so the golfers knew me, and the players knew me, and the manufacturers knew me. And you know, when you're standing behind the mound, you know, at a batting practice for a big league game, you know, you're typically the only female, and so often they think you're a reporter, and then they realize that, you know, that the players are coming over and sort of talking to you and sharing, and they realize, oh my gosh, that's somebody's agent. So I think it's reframing it as a positive. There was a way, in many ways, it was a unique opportunity for me to connect and represent an entire family. So not only did I represent Mark DeRosa, but I represented his wife, Heidi. You know, not only do you represent Doc Rivers, but you work with his wife, Chris. And so that, to me, was an integral part of it, and I think that was unique for guys to feel like their wives could pick up the phone and have a conversation with the agent that was one in which they hung up feeling inspired, enlightened, and certainly engaged in sort of all of the athlete or the coach's lives. So that was an important part of it as well.
And there you have it. CEO, author, mass negotiator, Molly Fletcher, her new book, A Winner's Guide to Negotiating, How to Get Conversation how conversation gets deals done. Make sure you check it out. Go to MollyFletcher.com. This is her third book, guys. And she also has a DVD out, the 90-Day Playbook. Make sure you get that. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Molly Fletcher. Thanks so much. You've been an inspiration to everybody out there. Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this.